Yes, I'm the area secretary of the 10th Raleigh Register.
Right. Tell us about the Raleigh cars, because Barbara and I, there was a little confusion over which cars there are. Our memories don't go back quite as far as that.
Right. Well, the Raleigh cars go back to 1898, when a young lad left school and spent 2 years designing his first car. Percy Riley produced it in 2 years and then ran it from Stratford upon Avon to Coventry in order to prove his reliability.
So how old would he have been then?
Percy was 16 when he started the design and 18 when he drove it.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Absolutely amazing. Super engineer was Percy Riley.
Well, was it a hit from the start?
Oh, absolutely. Percy's car was a major step forward in motor engineering in that he pioneered the use of some special valves in the engine, which effectively prevented the British motor industry from falling into the hands of the Germans 90 years before it did.
So he was a big news in the car.
Percy Riley was really big news, really big news, yes.
How did Ford react to this?
Well, Fords were in the States at the time and were not too interested in what was going on in Europe. It was a long way away.
Yes. Nowadays, of course, they'd be over here, wouldn't they?
Oh, well,
snap him up, head hunting him.
Absolutely. He would be a major engineer by today's standards.
So, from when he drove the first one to the first production line being set up, are we still talking a matter of years?
Well, we're talking, yes, a few years. Of course, the company were particularly interested in manufacturing bicycles when Percy Riley started, but they put engines into their bicycles and made a lot of motorcycles. And it wasn't until just before the First World War, really, that the Riley cars really became commonplace on British roads.
Now, what was the design? I mean, for people listening who will remember the cars in general, can you paint a sort of thumbnail sketch for us?
Oh, these were very primitive vehicles indeed. They were largely driven at that stage by air-cooled V-twin engines, two cylinders only. Many of them were chain-driven or belt-driven. There were no heaters. There was no air conditioning and all the kind of sophistications that we've got today. The steering was manual and quite heavy and so on.
And what about the suspension? I mean, if you went over a pothole, you'd feel it, I guess.
Suspension was by means of carts, really. It transferred exactly from carts, horsing carts, that sort of thing. And yes, they were fairly primitive and pretty uncomfortable by today's standards.
But reliable cars?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, Percy drove his car in 1898, the distance from Stratford to Coventry, with no problems at all.
Now, how many were being sold? I mean, what was the height of the production, if you like?
Well, the height of Riley production, I suppose, the British motor industry before the war, would have been in the middle 1930s. Very small numbers by today's standards. Probably 2, 3, 4, 5,000 cars at the most per annum.
Mm.
From one factory. There were many factories.
And the factory was in Coventry, wasn't it?
The factory was in the centre of Coventry, yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you have one? When did you get your first?
I got my first Riley about 20 years ago. Although, of course, as a lad, I had always hoped my father would buy a Riley car rather than the Austin that he actually bought.
What was it then? I mean, even as a lad, what was it you could see in the Riley that not you could see in other cars?
They were special, they were beautifully designed, they were extremely nice shape, and they always had obvious visual pretensions of sporting excellence. And the engines were very advanced, they were quick and sophisticated, they had wood, leather inside. They were really very nice.
And what was the top speed then? You said they were quick.
Well, of course, on road use, they would do between 70 and 80 miles an hour, but these engines went on to power sports and racing cars. Indeed, the most successful racing car before the war was powered by a Riley engine, the ERA.
Really?
Really.
So, how many have you had down the years?
I've had four Rileys.
Must be heartbreaking to get rid of them, or do you keep them? Do you have four?
There's always one that's slightly better. It's better than the one you've got. And
yes.
So when you get the opportunity to acquire one of those, you have to move another one on. And I've got what I consider to be some nice cars now.
How much are you paying for them? I mean, have they dropped much in value down the years?
No, they've accrued in value.
Really?
Quite considerably, yes.
So how much would you pay now for a good model?
Depends. I mean, for a sports car, £30,000. For a saloon, perhaps half that amount.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And how much initially would you have paid?
£300 for a saloon and maybe £350 for a sports car in the mid-1930s.
Now, you mentioned the Raleigh. I guess there'll be fine examples of many of the models.
is a special one. It commemorates Pershing's achievements, and the hope is and the expectation is that all of the models will all be represented. And certainly by the time we get to the Motor Industry Heritage Centre again, they should all be there.
Right. Let's talk about the event on Sunday then. We say it starts at Dover. Whereabouts?
Dover Castle is hosting our meeting point, and we are expecting cars from both Kent and Surrey, Sussex, and indeed from Belgium and Sweden to join us there. And we'll spend an afternoon looking around the attractions there before we move off to our first hotel at post.
So what is the meeting time? We're looking at, what, 2 in the afternoon?
Oh, yeah, we should be meeting from about 11 o'clock on.
Right. Okay. And the members of the public are invited along.
Oh, members of the public will be more than welcome. Dover Castle, they've got a little special parking place for us. And we'll have someone there to tell people about the cars, so if anyone's interested.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of people interested. I'm interested also in the clubs. How long has your pub been now?
The Riding Register was formed in the early 1950s. And specifically looks after all of the cars built up until 1941, when the Riley family ceased to control the business.
Well, why did you decide to make that the cut-off point?
Well, it's a very clear stage in the development of Riley history. In 1939, the receivers came in, and effectively the family began to lose control of the company. After that, the war came along, and post-war, the Riley cars were built by the National Organisation, which was Morris Motors, of course. And then, subsequently, that all became part of the British Motor Corporation, and different cars came along again. So there's three very clear and distinct areas of Riley history, and the Riley Register is the one that looks after the pre-war motor cars.
Well, what do people who are members of your club get out of it then? What are the bonuses?
Tremendous amount of fun. We have a lot of events. We have been across the continent to France and Holland 3 or 4 times in the last year, and we do a lot of motoring. We drive the cars quite hard, really, and get around quite a bit. So we gather and do all the things that clubs do and enjoy our motoring as well.
And I know you're on the lookout, always on the lookout for new members.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Everybody's very welcome. I mean, we have a number of members who don't have cars, but we do find that they join and very soon they're interested in inquiring something.
Yes. So you don't necessarily have to be a Riley owner.
No, absolutely not. No, you, as long as you're interested, you'll certainly get more interested by joining the club.
Mm. And where are you based? Where do you meet and how
often? We meet on the first Wednesday in every month at the pool in Atwood. So there's always a good selection of rides for people to see there.
Wonderful. How many are still in existence? Is there any way of telling?
It's very difficult to know, but the number will run into thousands, probably 2,000 to 3,000 cars worldwide. Mm. There's a large number in Australia, New Zealand, and there's a fair number in Holland as well.
Do you drive yours on a daily basis, or is it almost a, if you like, I don't mean to insult you here, but a Sunday afternoon car?
No, I use my cylinder car on a daily basis, really. If I need to drive anywhere, then I drive in my Riley pistol.
Okay. Now, if people want to get involved, as we say, it is this Sunday at Dover Castle from about, what, 11? That's right, in the morning. Everybody's welcome to turn up there. And if they want to get involved in the plot, how do they go about that, Robin?
Well, the best thing for these to do is to contact me, and I will show them through the joining procedures.
Okay, so what's the phone number?
My telephone number is 01732 824 136.
01732 824 136.